Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Well, today we get to hear mission trip testimonies. And so let me just add this as we are praying about calling. I'd like you to think about, as we hear the testimonies today, is God possibly calling you to be a part of one of these trips next year? I know that's a long way away, and Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't return and the creek doesn't rise, maybe you should pray about going next year. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to people as they're going to share their testimonies. I think we'll watch a video first.
Oh, hi, Barb. My friend is here, so I'm excited about this. So my name is Heather Nothnagel. My husband, Brian, and our daughter, Emily, all went to Knoll, Missouri. And when I got back, I'm a processor, as some of my friends are learning. So when I got back, I just took time to ask the Lord, what did you do? What did I see? Because I didn't want to miss it. And I wrote it down because that's what I do. So I'm just going to read you what I wrote. All right. So we packed our bags, rented an RV for the weekend, and headed out on a short mission trip to Knoll, Missouri, with a team from our church. Knoll's a town of about 1,800 people, and it has over 30 different nationalities represented in the southwest corner of the state. We were excited to learn that this international mission field was only 2 hours away, practically in our own backyard. As newer members of Spring Hill, we were also excited and saw this as an opportunity to spend time with other members and had hoped to get better acquainted with those that came. Friday and Saturday evenings, we had an outdoor VBS for the neighborhood kids with crafts, games, food, and Bible stories. The children seemed genuinely happy to have us there, and they enjoyed all we had to offer, soaking in the extra attention that they were receiving. Brian knocked it out of the park with his parachute and water game relays. Jamie brought all the excitement with the bottle rocket launch. Josh filled sweet little tummies with tangible food. Laura and Doug brought the everlasting food of the bread of life and the telling of the Bible stories. Our youth played their hearts out, throwing football and wrangling kids up in the neighborhood to come join us. There were others of us that served more in the background, filling water buckets, picking up trash, helping with crafts, serving snacks, escorting kids from one place to another. Saturday afternoon, we helped serve at a local church mission where lunch and groceries were distributed to those in need. It was such a blessing to see the impact this local church was making in their own community. The gospel was shared there as well, and my prayer is that those who served left feeling valued, loved, and with an understanding that Jesus is the life changer. Sometimes all it takes is a smile and an extra cookie to make someone's day. Lastly, I've been on enough mission trips to know that the Lord always does work in my own heart. He's good to keep sanctifying us that way. So here's more of, here's more of the reflections when I asked the Lord to show me what happened. So here's what he showed me. I saw my husband laughing and playing with the children with the utmost joy in his heart. I saw my daughter step out of her comfort zone and serve the Lord and others with gladness. I saw our youth enjoying each other's company and willingly participating in the work of the Lord. I saw a young boy open the Bible and read a verse for perhaps the first time in his life. I saw a mother keeping an eye on her daughter, but listening and watching intently as the kids played and the Bible stories were told. I saw a huge smile and eventually a belly laugh from the man who kept coming back to me for more cookies. In contrast, I saw the look of shame on a woman's face as she went through the line for the third time. I saw a tear in the eye of a team member as she shared a Bible story. I saw the quivering chin of a man in ministry who was encouraged just to be with a friend. I saw our pastor, staff, and team members living out the beauty of the gospel beyond our physical church building. I saw Doug and Laura come well prepared and eager to share the gospel with others. I saw Joe brave the heat, sleep in a tent, and show his tribe of teenage boys what it looks like to serve others well. I saw Jared and Dawn put the needs of Titus ahead of their own desires as they split up so that one could care for Titus and the other could do the mission work. In reality, they both were on mission. I saw Emily and Nick care for the needs of their children above and beyond what most of us will ever understand, and yet they poured out more of themselves to serve others. I saw Tyler and Alicia give up their comforts as they braved the over 100-degree heat in a two-man tent and did new things that they had never done before. Go, Tyler. He did a lot of new things. I saw Josh and Jamie give generously of their resources and their time, and then they continued on the following week and the following week to do more mission work. But the most heartwarming thing I witnessed was when I heard all the children call out at the top of their lungs, "Jesus!" with their own voice as they learned of the one who calms the storm. It all mattered. It was all good. The gospel was shared, lives were touched, and the children learned to call on the name above all names, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, I just want to just respond to this, just add to this a little bit, that this trip is completely doable. Young, old families, this neighborhood, the kids need Jesus. And we've just planted a seed here. It needs watered. We talk about going and planting the seed, you know, here in this church. And so we need feet to do this. And God showed up throughout this whole weekend experience, this mission trip. His hand was with us the whole entire time. These kids came to this nightly VBS, and we had a ball with these kids. They were the most kind, well-mannered kids that you'll ever see. And I mean, I was blown away. I mean, I was, and just had a fun time doing this. We did have some fun time on the river and stuff like that. But whether it was helping in the food pantry, coming alongside the Baptist church there, and being able to serve food to people of Knoll, or whether it was in the neighborhood serving these kids, whether they're eating dinner or playing games, Bible stories, making crafts. It's just an awesome time. And I would encourage each of you to put this on your list for next year. We'll be there. And it's just an awesome time. And it's completely doable. And it's right here in our backyard. I mean, it's not that far away. So anyways, Emily, you want to? Thank you.
All right. I'm glad they went first because that was awesome. My name's Emily. I'm married to Nick. Our family was able to join in Knoll this year. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. I don't like this. Anyways, but this is not about me. So when we went to Knoll, I was able to help out with Miss Dawn to register the kiddos as they came to VBS. And so that was super fun. So most of these kiddos are from Micronesia, and my kiddos got to learn a whole new host of different types of names, and it was so sweet to see all of their faces come to VBS those two nights. And so the second question I'm going to answer is how I saw God move and work. I'm going to try to stay on script here. I saw new shared experiences and bonds made between brothers and sisters of Spring Hill. That was incredible to watch. We got to adapt and flow together. Like, were we going to have water for water games? I don't know. Are we going to, you know, X, Y, Z? So to see brothers and sisters who are used to kind of our 9-to-5 life go fluid in this mission trip was really encouraging to my heart. The second thing, I saw God at work in my kids. They had opportunities to serve other children, and they got to watch how others served as well. And that was an incredible opportunity for my kiddos to learn from fellow believers. And then there's a lot of work that the Lord did in my own heart. So I did not realize how much my heart was craving and longing for this opportunity. So going into this, I had so many concerns. Pop-up camper, first time camping, three small kids, blazing heat. I was like, if we come out of this alive, that will be a miracle. But the Lord met us completely in all the things. If you know the dynamics of my family, they're incredibly unique. I've got three young kiddos, and both of my boys have special needs. So Boulder doesn't do well with schedule changes. So going on a mission trip is, you do this here and you go here. And I was terrified that it was just going to be a struggle the whole weekend. But God met us there, and he did awesome. You guys loved on him in incredible ways. And if you know Shepherd, Shepherd can't tolerate heat at all. And it was like 110 degrees. But the Lord met us fully, and we were able to keep him cool the entire time. And the Lord met me in my heart. I was able to talk to people and make connections in ways that I just don't typically get to do as mom. I'm usually back there with the stroller and the kiddos, and I get bits and pieces in conversations, but the Lord allowed me to sit in conversations and be present in ways that I just normally can't do. So like, there was like our pop-up camper, and then up the hill were the Mendozas, and they got to come down for coffee every morning, and it was awesome. I don't ever get those opportunities anymore, so the Lord just completely met me where I was and all of my struggles, and he allowed me to thrive on a weekend that I just didn't think was possible. So, and the other thing is, the Knoll trip is such a family-oriented opportunity that allows the whole unit to serve together. I think we can all maybe relate to this in some form or fashion, but how much of our day, especially with kiddos, is, okay, like for Nick and I, we'll say, okay, you take the kids to go do this, I'm going to go do this. There's such a tag team, and a little bit of our days are fragmented, but at Knoll, man, I got to serve alongside my husband and my kids that I don't get to do really ever, in the sense that we got to do that weekend, and that was so encouraging for our family, because it just, that's not our norm anymore, and so the Lord allowed that to happen, and just to see my kids serve with other people was just, it was an honor, to be incredibly honest. So the Lord allowed our limitations as a family to subside, and we just got to be and to serve together. And lastly, Knoll is an incredible community with so many opportunities for us to serve as a church. So when we left Knoll this summer, my kids were already talking about, man, what's it going to look like next summer, and what are we going to get to do, and who's going to go? So I echo the Nothnagels. It's an incredible opportunity that I did not think was possible. And the Lord met us, and he incredibly blessed that trip. And it was a really sweet time. So thank you, church, for supporting and praying for our team.
Good morning, Spring Hill. My name is Shannon. I was one of the team members that went to Croatia this year. An overview of what this mission trip looked like. Our job was basically to work behind the scenes at this family camp. The missionaries that our church supports, their names are Davor and Sandra. They are local Croatians, and their heart is for discipling first-generation Christians. Croatia is about 1% Christian, so there are a lot of first-generation Christians. And also Davor and Sandra just help them with counseling on their marriages, on how to have a biblical marriage, and just how to be a Christian. So we are not able to directly help with their ministry because it's a lot of counseling, but they partner with this family camp. And so they will host sessions at this camp. So families will go and stay there for the whole week. A typical day, they'll have some family sessions, and then we will take the kids and do kind of a VBS while the parents are in discipleship classes. And then, like I said, our job is to work behind the scenes. So we help set up for meals and clean up after meals. We sweep floors, we clean bathrooms, we mop. We just kind of take care of everything so that the missionaries that are there can do what they're there for, to disciple to the other Croatians. Overview. So that is the overview of the trip. Again, just working behind the scenes, allowing those local missionaries to do what they're there for. Some ways that I personally saw God on this trip. I was looking back at my journal from last time. I was lucky enough to go to Croatia 3 years ago when our church went, and the main thing God had showed me was that He is in the details. He is with us always, and He continued that in this trip. Just a few examples. Sunday, when we were taking a train from the capital city of Zagreb to Orahovica, which is the town in the country that we go to for this family camp, we were on a train. At the train station earlier, this gentleman had noticed we were Americans, because we tend to stand out, and started talking to Josh. And so they just had a quick conversation, and then God placed that gentleman on our train car as well. And so then when the man came to check our train tickets, there was a minor problem with the ticket. But of course, we didn't know what the problem was because we don't speak Croatian. But thankfully, that gentleman that Josh was talking to was on the train car with us, able to translate for us and get that taken care of. And just seeing God in that detail there was wonderful. Sunday night, we got to have a time of worship with our mission team and the leaders of the camp. And that was beautiful to have a time of worship with our brothers and sisters halfway across the world. And we also had a time of prayer. We prayed in English and Croatian. And I loved that because I didn't know what they were saying, but God does. And that's just a taste of heaven where every tribe and every tongue is going to proclaim the name of Jesus. We had some interesting different times this year. One night in our hotel, there were some intoxicated men that were looking for a fight. And so our missionary, Davor, took care of that. So we saw God in His wisdom there on taking care of that situation, keeping our team safe. The next day, during our class with the kids, one of the kids had an allergic reaction and had almost passed out. So an ambulance was called and he went to the hospital, but a few hours later he was totally fine. So he was back at the camp as if nothing had happened. We saw God in that situation, just that it happened during class. So we were able to see immediately that there was something wasn't right, and be able to quickly act. And then as the child went to the hospital, we were able to pray over that mom. So just those little details where we saw God and saw how we got to serve again, just behind the scenes of those missionaries there. And then on Saturday, when we were going back to the capital city, on the bus that we were on, we got to meet this young lady who is from Croatia, but she works in Germany right now, and she heard us talking English. And so she just started talking to us. And at the end, she thanked us for making her trip a little better because she was sad that she was leaving her family. But we got to have a good gospel conversation with her. We friended her on Facebook, and we get to continue that conversation. And so those were just a few of the ways that I saw God on this trip. And thinking back of those things, those aren't necessarily things that I have to go to Croatia to experience. I can experience that here if I see God in everything, because He is in all aspects of our life. And so I think about, you know, we don't take public transportation as much here, but, you know, when you see people in the grocery store or something and somebody just reaches out to you, you can still have that gospel conversation. And so, yeah, just being able to love each other. Another way we saw God is just that our team got along very well all week. That is always a blessing as we're hot and exhausted. But yes, so thank you for being a church that sends us halfway across the world. And if anyone is interested in joining our team, I'm sure all of us are happy to talk about that mission trip.
Thank you. Okay. I'm Kim Anderson. This is my husband, Scott, and this who won't be talking. He's here for support. So this was my first time going to Croatia. It was Scott's third time going to Croatia. Did I say it wrong? I'm sorry. I also don't like this, but I am going to be speaking, I think, to the person that when Jared this morning said maybe you would pray about going on a trip next year, because I'm the person that would hear that and my insides would quiver. I'm going to talk to the person that's afraid to go, because I went very afraid. I didn't think I would cry, but the night before we left, I actually wrote goodbye letters to my children, which I know that just seems so ridiculous, but I was bawling. Scott had gone to bed. I'm very scared to fly, but God showed up, as so many people had shared. There was actually a time when I thought, when I heard the door shut, that I was going to have to get up and go pound on the door. I'm pretty sure that would get me arrested and probably on a no-fly list. So I might consider that so I would never have to go again. But God was good, and He did. I know it's silly to be maybe afraid to fly, and some people don't understand that, but when you see a propeller plane outside the terminal, and then you're told there's a major storm in Springfield, and I actually went and found a pilot and stopped him to talk to him about the flight, and he was so gracious. I'm still processing why the Lord would want me to go. I'm still trying to figure that out. I wanted to go to be with my husband and to interact with the people that he had shared. I wanted to see Devor and Sandra. I met them when they came to the States a couple years ago, and I love them. They are just incredible people, and it's contagious just to want to sit there and listen to them talk about the Lord and their ministry and the sanctity of marriage and the families that they minister to. They have a true heart. Doug Dollarhide, who is not here today, he had prayed that something would be different about this trip. And since I'd never been before, I didn't really know what all was different. But some of the things that we did focus on was prayer. And I know when we landed in Munich, we prayed for Ben and Mallory. You know, the Lord just prompted our hearts, hey, we're on their soil right now. We're going to pray for them. When we met the first night of camp and we prayed for the camp that week, and there were things that happened that week with Jonathan. He stopped breathing in class and had to be taken by ambulance. And there was some people who tested positive for COVID and they had to leave the camp early. Then we were all battling something, but no one really got sick. We just had this cough and this tickle, and I think they're blaming me, but I'm totally blaming someone else for that. But we prayed through that. And then there was a Wednesday night service where they did an actual traditional church service. And we felt led again to stop and pray, because they are first generational Christians. There were some people there that were not Christian, that were part of the camp, that had heard about it. And just, we may not know exactly how God used those prayers and used us to pray during those times to reach those people. But I believe we were obedient and He asked us to do it. And so we did. Their worship time, and we would hear the songs and we would know, oh, that's one of our songs that we play. But they would sing it, you know, in their language. And it was just amazing to hear them sing praises, and they'd be so excited. I shared one of them on Facebook. I don't know if you got to see it, where they were just so joyful and dancing and moving. It wasn't a Baptist service. They were like really excited, and it was really great. But just to see them and hear them. And I remember when I'd gone to China in 2008 again, because the Lord said, you're going. So I went, and we got to go to the international church, and we passed the different sanctuaries for the different nationalities, and to hear them worship in their native tongue. And that was something this time too, that was just so incredible for me to hear them sing those songs. Knowing what they were saying, but not really knowing, you know, but knowing the words and just hearing them. But like Shannon said, the ministry behind the scenes,
we would witness some of the groups dividing up and having one-on-one time together, or couples with other couples. And even though we couldn't understand them, they were able to do that because of what we were doing. We were watching their children so they wouldn't be a distraction. We were cleaning, which I know it sounds like that's a menial task, but they were so appreciative, and they blessed us, where I felt guilty that they were blessing us so much with their appreciation for what we were doing. But it kept them focused on the people they were there to minister to. So they didn't have to think about their kids. They didn't have to think about, was there toilet paper in the bathrooms? Were the dishes clean for the next meal? We were taking care of that for them so they could just invest in each other and be there for each other. So if you do have that twinge when you hear about a mission trip, His faith is stronger than your fear. And just, you got to go, because it is such an incredible blessing. And I mean, I will admit, I mean, if I get the twinge again, I pray for it to pass. And I pray, I do. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I'm like, no. And when I felt that at the beginning of the year, when we met in the meeting, I just went to be support for him because he was my ride home. And then I felt that you're going, and I didn't even afford myself time. I was like, nope, I'm not going. I'm not even going to question if that's God, because I'm not going. And I went. So because he just kept it up, and I knew he's with me. Although you don't want to hear about the sovereignty of God when you're going through a storm and it's bouncing all over the place, but that's just not a good time to talk about it. But he was faithful, and we're home, and I'm super thankful, and thank you for praying for us. We very much appreciate it.
Man, they did a great job, didn't they? Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 11. I won't take too much time, but I haven't preached in 2 weeks now, so hold on. Just joking. Numbers chapter 11. I've been doing this study on the Holy Spirit. I just looked up every place that it says Spirit with the capital S in Scripture, and I've just been reading through it for my devotional times. And one of the things I've done is marked chapters in the Scripture that talk heavily, that have multiple references to the Spirit. And lo and behold, Numbers 11. Who would have guessed? Numbers 11 is one of them. So I'll just tell you the story real quickly as you're there. Numbers 11, Moses has gone to the Lord, and he said, these people are driving me crazy. It's too much work for me to do, too much ministry for me to do. I heard a preacher one time say that his congregation, their biggest struggle was that they baptized the people in pickle juice. And he said, at least it looked that way, because they were just all sour. I thought it was funny. Maybe he said it differently than I did. Mark that joke out. Don't tell that one again. But the people of Israel had definitely been baptized in pickle juice. They were a mean, ornery group. And so Moses is like, said, I've had it up to here. And here's what God says. Numbers chapter 11, he says, I want you to set up 70 men, these 70 elders, and I'm going to give some of the Spirit, capital S, some of the Holy Spirit that's on you to them. And they're going to minister on my behalf to all of the people. And so that's the promise. And think about that. These people are going to receive the Holy Spirit. Actually, the very first person, little side note here for you, the first person that receives the Holy Spirit is in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, I believe. And it is not Moses. It's not a prophet. It's not a priest. It's not a king. It's a general worker, a general contractor who's going to be doing some work on the tabernacle. And it says he was filled with the Spirit. Isn't that great? To think about how the Spirit is not reserved for lofty positions, but it's for every child of God. So here's back to Numbers 11 here. So they go to the tent of meeting, and the Holy Spirit falls on them, and it says they begin to prophesy. Now, there was a problem there in Numbers 11, if you read it, and the problem was not all 70 showed up. There were two of them that didn't show up. One's name was Medad, and the other one's name, it was Eldad. Medad and Eldad, they didn't show up. They were still back at the camp. And guess what happens to them back at the camp? They start prophesying, which is pretty weird to think these people are just prophesying in the camp. And so Joshua comes and gets Moses and pulls him to the side and says, Moses, there's a problem. These two guys were prophesying, so I told them to stop. And look at this verse with me. This is now Numbers 11, verse 29. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that all the Lord's people would have the Spirit. Now, what Moses doesn't realize is that he's prophesying to a day that's gonna happen. And it's the New Testament era. It's Acts chapter 2, when God gives his Holy Spirit not to some of the children, but to all of them. And in some way, all of his children get to have this part of being a prophet, that they get to be proclaimers that say, "Thus says the Lord," as they're filled with the Spirit. Here's what today was, just in case you missed it, and over the last summer, just some exciting things. This is a church. You are a people that are filled with the Spirit and that do ministry. And so I just want to say thank you. So just, if you could, just think back with me over the last summer. In May, we did a big tent revival, and we had people that came and served, men that said, "Hey, let's do a fish fry," and had a big meal. We had over 20 people who went out on Night of Hope to invite our neighbors. That's good ministry, isn't it? People who saw the role. Moses, what Moses is saying is, I wish all of you understood you were ministers. And in the New Testament, every child of God is a minister. And so I'm just kind of relating these two. VBS we had this summer, we had over 40 people that were workers there in VBS. We sent 3 people to India. They went to villages that had never heard the gospel. I remember Nick saying, this will forever be etched in my brain, somebody saying, "What is a Jesus?" They didn't even know Jesus was a person. They thought it was a thing, like a coffee machine, perhaps. You know, like, "Oh, what's a Jesus? I haven't heard of one of those." And so they got to proclaim Jesus. In Peru, we got to take 8 people to Peru and to experience the Spirit move in a powerful way. We had 20 people that went to Knoll and got to be a part of a family mission trip. If you're thinking maybe we could do something as a family, that we wanted to make something that was affordable and easy, just a weekend that you could do together and minister. And then to Croatia, that we had 10 people that went to Croatia, as you just heard. And then we also had about 9 different adults serve in camps this summer. So if you're real quick at math, and now I know some of those kind of double dipped, they did multiple things, but that's 100 people that served in ministry this summer. Isn't that amazing? Man, I didn't know if that was on. 100 people got to do ministry this year. I want you to know that I genuinely believe what happens there in Numbers 11 is prophetic. That this is the day that all of God's children get all of his Spirit. And they all have an opportunity and a role to be prophetic. And here's how you are prophetic: to say, "Thus says the Lord, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a prophetic statement, because the Lord has said that. And then as a prophet, you get to kind of proclaim that. Does that make sense? You call to action, call people to believe. So we are going to have an invitation today, and the invitation is 2-part. Number one is this: if you're a child of God, and we prayed before we gave testimonies that God would be calling people, clarifying their calling. If that's you today and you'd say, "Man, I don't care what the trip is, I know I should be going." And let me just tell you how much Spring Hill believes in you. We set aside money a couple years ago to say, if you've never been on an international mission trip, we'll pay your first half. And I'll tell you, there were people that did that this year, because we want them to get that experience. We actually had about 8 people that went on their first mission trip this year. Maybe not international, but even like Nick and Emily, they said this was the first mission trip that our kids got to go on as a family. How cool is that? And I was actually with Nick and Emily on Levi's very first mission trip. And he was 1, right? We took him in the stroller, had the car seat, and we would take, and he just has always grown up doing ministry. That's kind of what we wanted to do with Noel. So one part of our invitation is this, that you would maybe do, as Ms. Kimmel said, you'd say, "Man, my insides are shaking and I want to get involved in ministry." Maybe you don't know how, but maybe this is your moment to just say, "Lord, yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll serve however you want me to." And then secondly, for our invitation is this, thinking about the calling of the Lord, the very first calling that you'd receive from the Lord is to believe. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and he's stirring in your heart in that way to say, "I must believe on Christ and be saved," we want to give you that opportunity. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask the band to come up here. We're going to play one last song. And if the Lord has been speaking to you today, I pray that you would respond. Would you pray with me? as the band comes. Father, thank you for being a God that's at work. Father, just as Ms. Kimmela said, Father, the many times that you've made me shake, those many times that you've tugged on my heart, those many times that I've heard the word preached and that you've spoke to me. Father, I thank you that you continually speak to your children through the preaching of your word, through the encouragement of brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that you would continue to speak to us. And Father, today as you speak, would you find us faithful to respond? Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.